1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I know that the bulletin said tonight that Brother Kelly was going to be bringing the evening message, but due to unforeseen circumstances, I'm filling in for Brother Kelly tonight. I don't know if you know, but Brother Roach was admitted to the hospital, and Brother W.K. Roach was admitted to the hospital this morning. He apparently contracted food poisoning, and actually he and Kelly had been dealing with that this week, and he just got so bad that they took him to the emergency room this morning, and they admitted him and going to be working with him, I guess, over the next few days to try to get him back into good health again. So I want to remember Brother Roach as well as Kelly and the rest of the family as they deal with this illness. But for tonight, I ask you to turn your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and stand with me as we read from the Word of God. Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, the pastor at the church at Ephesus, and he writes this: "But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourselves toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy, with laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Richard, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Paul opens here with the statement that bodily exercise profits a little. I've got an idea. Let's start a church exercise program. What do you say? We'll all meet here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning and do a 5-mile walk. Who's in? 2, 3, 4... Absolutely. Rain or shine, let's be dedicated. There is no question that exercise is a good thing. It makes you stronger, benefits your heart, helps your cholesterol, helps your blood pressure, and it's just good for you. Can't argue that. Doctors will tell you, They've told me that 2 miles seems to be the magic point, you know. Walk 2 miles a day. So guess what I walk? 2 miles. When I hit 2 miles, I say, I've reached it. That's it. That's good. And there's no doubt. It's good for you. And if you want more explanation than that, just ask Brother David Shirley. He'll share with you. Yeah. But I believe that not only is the picture here that exercise will do you a little bit of good, okay? But the idea here is not just exercising for nothing, but it's exercising for a purpose. For example, before you can run a marathon or participate in running a marathon, you better practice beforehand, right? And exercise beforehand. Before you can play football, you know, we all love football, right? These guys, they play football, I don't know, roughly September to about January. The rest of the year they spend in the weight room and running and exercising, getting ready for next season, because they know that next season's coming and they're going to face other guys that are big and strong and 300-pound linemen. And so they spend so much time in preparing. And do you know what does a game last? An hour, 60 minutes? They spend the year practicing for 13, 14, 60-minute games. And they better, otherwise they'll get knocked around. And I want you to see, that's a good thing. But do you ever look at spiritual exercise from that perspective? Okay? Paul says physical exercise, it's a good thing. It profits a little. But spiritual exercise toward godliness is really, really profitable. So, my question to you is, you know, you may be one that is really taken with exercise. You like to do that, and good for you. I'm glad for you. But how is your spiritual exercise? Paul's command here to young Timothy was to train yourself or discipline yourself for godliness, because the day's going to come, Timothy, when your spiritual strength will be challenged. Do you realize? You know, you hear from me and preachers all the time, you need to get in the Word of God. Right? Need to study. Show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Get in the Bible. Do you realize that it's not just for the sake of getting in the Bible? That what you're doing as you exercise your spiritual muscles, you are preparing for that day when your faith is going to be challenged. And beloved, your faith one day will be challenged. Yeah. You look at men in the Old Testament or in the Bible, men like Abraham. Abraham was doing really great until one day God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, to the place that I'm going to show you and sacrifice that son to me. Boy, you talk about a challenge of faith. You'd have to be prepared for something like that. You take Moses, when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You'd have to be prepared spiritually for something like that. And David, we all love the story of David and Goliath. I want to tell you, he didn't just decide one day, I'm going to kill a giant. He had been preparing a long time before that. As a matter of fact, when he's talking to Saul, before he met Goliath, he talked about the lion and the bear trying to steal the sheep, and how that he had killed the lion and the bear, and he was going to do the same thing to Goliath. You've got to prepare for that point when your faith is going to be challenged before you get to that point that your faith is going to be challenged. And that's the whole idea that Paul is trying to put forth here. Unless you prepare, when that day comes and you're like David, you're facing Goliath, you're going to turn around and run. Or you're going to be overwhelmed. Paul, he goes into more detail there in verse 12 about what this spiritual training looks like. In verse 12, he said, let no one despise, or he goes into more detail as to why the things that Timothy's going to have to face. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, these things, Timothy, these are the things that you're going to have to deal with, you're going to have to face, and the things that you're going to have to be. That's why it's so important. First of all, he said, Timothy, let nobody despise your youth. Don't you think about this, Dave? Timothy was going to face people who were going to say, he's just a kid. You ever heard that? He don't know what he's talking about. He's just a kid. Paul's saying, no, sir. Timothy, stand your ground. Don't let anybody make or belittle you because you're young. It's a spiritual challenge. He goes on. And Timothy, you've got to be an example or the standard to other believers. So that when people look at you, Timothy, they see a godly man. Timothy, you've got to be faithful in word. That when everybody around you can't be trusted in what they say, you've got to be the man that the words that come out of your mouth are the words that people know are the truth. Timothy, you be faithful in conduct, the manner of life. Don't just talk about it. Don't just preach about it. Walk it. And you have to be an example in love. Because, Timothy, there's coming a day when you're going to have to love people that are hard to love. You ever been there yet? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. See, these are things that challenge your faith. Sometimes people, I mean, let's face it, I'll be honest, some days I'm hard to love. Yeah? We're all hard to love. And some days I'm wrong and won't admit I'm wrong. Yeah? And so these are things that we all face. But how are we facing them when we're really hit with it? When we want to look at people and say, I don't love you. You're unlovable. Paul's saying, no, Timothy, here's things you're gonna have to deal with. You be that example in love. Timothy, you be that example in spirit. You know what that word spirit means here, and what it's talking about? It's talking about the disposition or state of mind. Timothy, when you walk into a room, you light that room up. You don't darken that room. You know people who, when they walk into a room, the room just gets brighter? That's what Paul's saying to Timothy here. That spirit of peace, not that spirit of negative and harshness, but a spirit of God. Timothy, you be an example in faith and faithfulness so that you trust God even when you don't understand what God is doing. You ever been there? God, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out, but I know you've got it, so I trust you. See, these are things that challenge your faith. Timothy, you be an example in purity. You be what you say you are. He's talking about moral purity. When all around you are contaminated by sin, Timothy, you be pure. See, all these are things that challenge our faith from day to day, whether you're talking about preachers or you're talking about church members or deacons or Sunday school teachers. These things challenge our faith. And when we're challenged by it, we got to be ready to face it. Well, how do we do that? Spiritual exercise. Paul says in verse 13, he says, here you go, Timothy. Here's how you do it. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given you by prophecy, the laying on of hands of the eldership, and meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Now let's go back up to the top there in verse 13. Timothy, give yourself to reading. And it's not reading romance novels, not reading good commentaries, not reading the newspaper. Timothy, give yourself to reading. He's talking about the Word of God. Spend time in the Word. Beloved, I cannot express to our membership enough how of the need to just get into God's Word. Just spend, you know, and reading through the Bible, that's great. But you don't have to read through the Bible in a specified amount of time. Just get in the Word. If you do one verse a day, if you do 15 verses a day or 15 chapters a day, whatever, but get into that Word. Because one of these days, your faith is going to be challenged. And I mentioned a week or so ago, it's amazing how that what I study from day to day, God gives me an opportunity to apply often that very same day. And I'm reading it, I'm not thinking that much about it that morning and studying through it. And that afternoon, lo and behold, I have to say, oh Lord, that's what you meant, huh? That's why you showed me that text, that scripture this morning. Give attention to reading. Timothy, be absorbed in the Word. We have to be a people of the Word of God, knowing that this is in fact the Word of God. It's not suggestion. It doesn't have mistakes. It is 100% pure, the Word of God that we need to live day by day. You want to exercise? You want to prepare for when your faith is challenged? Get into the book, the Word of God. Timothy, give attention, he said, to exhortation. This is the exercise now. Give attention to exhortation. He's talking about encouragement. Calling to one's side, literally, is what that means. Let me ask you a question. Are you encouraging? Think about that. You know, are you an encouragement to people who need encouragement, who need lifted up, to those who are serving the Lord faithfully, to your teacher, to I don't know how else to say, but just regular church members. Do you ever walk up to people and say, you know, I'm glad to see you today. It's a blessing to see you. And I know sometimes I catch myself thinking, I need to change what I say when we're going out the back door, but people come through. And you know what I say all the time? You can probably repeat it. I'm glad to see you. It's good to see you today. But you know what? I don't say that without thinking about it. I really am glad to see you. It's a blessing that you're here to this preacher. And not only to this preacher, but to other church members. Be an encourager. Look for that opportunity to lift people up. Exercise those spiritual muscles. Give attention to doctrine. He's saying, Timothy, teach it. Timothy, teach it. Stand by what you believe and what you've been taught. Don't compromise when the rest of the world is compromising. You stand behind what you know to be truth, Timothy. You get into the Bible, you be educated in the Bible, and you stand by that Bible. Then he goes on, and do not neglect your gift. You know what I've discovered as a pastor? The things that I neglect become weak. Do you notice that? But the things that I focus on are strengthened. Have you ever noticed when a young man first surrenders to preach? I mean, there is something about that young man, and oftentimes you back up and say, well, he's got a long way to go. Have you ever done that? Looked at him and said, well, that young man's got a long way to go. And you're probably right. But you know what? What is amazing is that you hear that first message that he preached. Every preacher preached the first message. But you let him preach through the years. And you let him study through the years. And you know what happens? He doesn't neglect that spiritual gift of exhortation and preaching that God has given him. He gets better and he gets better and he gets better. And it's not just that way with preachers. It's that way with teachers. You know, a new teacher never starts out really, really good. You know why? Because he doesn't have the experience. But you let that guy teach for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. First thing you know, you're thinking, wow, I want to go to his class. Singing's the same way. The more you sing, the better you get. If you're going to exercise your spiritual muscles, don't neglect your gift that God has given, whatever that gift is. It may be preaching, it may be teaching, it may be singing, it may be something else. But I believe with all my heart that everybody sitting here tonight has a gift that God has given them. Don't neglect your gift. Exercise those muscles. And then, perhaps, the most important. Verse 15. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That word meditate, you know what it means, right? I call it pondering. It means to give serious thought to. Yeah, think about it. Hey, when you spend time in the Word of God, don't just breeze through there and say, okay, I read my five chapters today. Don't do that. Stop. Think about what you read. You know, I think that's one of the greatest failures we have as children of God. Because if you'll just take the time to stop and to think about what you read, you know what will happen? God will speak to you. He'll show you things you didn't know. He'll reveal things to you you've never noticed before. But you have to take the time to just meditate on those things. Meditate on the Word. Let me ask you, do you ever just sit still and be quiet? Do you? Amen. Just sit still and be quiet and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm not here to ask you for a bunch of things. I'm not here to lay out my Christmas list before you. Lord, I'm just here. Speak. It'll amaze you. You close the door. Say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to be quiet in you. If you want to speak to me, Lord, speak to me. If not, I'm honored to be in your presence. It's those times that you really hear from God. We've got to think. We've got to meditate. We've got to take that time where we're, as the Bible puts it, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Yeah, got to be still. And I know the lifestyle that we live today is not a still lifestyle. It is a here we go, get up in the morning and go to work and get home in the afternoon and run, run, run. Be still. Take that time. Meditate on the things of God. And if you do these things, you ever notice? Have you ever watched someone who started working out, who goes from working, they didn't work out, and they go from there to working out a lot? Have you ever noticed? They just kind of slim up and they bulk up, and you think, well, I don't know what they're doing, but oh, they're doing well. You do these things. Paul's telling Timothy, you do these things and it's going to show. You can't lift weight. You look at old Brother David Shirley. You just really know pretty quickly what he does. Don't you? He spends a lot of time doing it, and that's fine. That's good, you know. The same concept works spiritually. He says, you meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Be dedicated to it, that your progress may be evident to all. Everybody's going to see you and say, well, that guy's changing. He's not the young preacher he was when he first surrendered to the ministry. He's not the young teacher he was when he first started teaching that class. He's not the deacon he was when he first started. He's not the church member he was when he... You can see his progress. Shouldn't that be our goal?
Amen.
You know, someone once said, if we're not moving forward, we're backing up. Spiritual progress is so very important in the life of the child of God. If not, if we don't progress, we'll moss over and back up. Paul knew that. That's why he's telling young Timothy these things. Timothy, you work on them. You exercise those spiritual muscles. It's my challenge to our membership this week, to y'all here tonight. Exercise your spiritual muscles. Do those things that are hard to do. You know? When you first start exercising, man, it's hard, isn't it? You know? If you're going to run 2 miles or 3 miles or walk 5 miles or whatever, it's hard. But you know what you do? You make yourself do it. Same concept here. I promise you. You can set aside time. I'm going to spend 30 minutes in the Word of God at 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. And is Satan will give you every reason to make excuse and not do it. Okay? But it's discipline. All right? That word exercise literally means training or discipline. Discipline yourself to exercise your spiritual muscles. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, I want to share with you, Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He loves you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. You may think I'm not worthy. You're right. None of the rest of us are either. But He loves you so much that He was crucified to take your punishment. That's what you and I deserved. And He crucified. He died for you out of love. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you, will you come? Will you receive Jesus as your Savior? Maybe there's another need that you have tonight. Rededication, perhaps church membership, perhaps following the Lord in baptism, whatever that spiritual need is, this invitation is for you to respond to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word and for the reminder, Lord, of spiritual exercise. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves to that exercise, knowing that if we're not growing, if we're not spiritually building ourselves, then, Lord, we're backing up. So, Lord, help us to be dedicated toward exercising those spiritual muscles so that when that challenge to our faith comes, we'll stand and we'll stand strong for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray now Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.